I got to tell you, that is smooth right in my ear.
It's the touch of the season. When love runs dry.
Where's my beer? Fuck, dude.
Where'd you leave it? I saw you grab it.
I did. Grabbed everything but the beer.
I saw you grab it and bring it over. That is strange.
Now we're ready.
All right.
I need my beer. Matt brought the beers.
Need my juice.
Matt brought the beers.
Bring new beers.
Bring one in.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. To Joker, folly ado. Folly ado.
Wait, you gotta do the clap. We don't know when to start.
Oh my god, dude. I keep...
You gotta get the clap. We gotta get a clapper.
Dude, this is why you need to be here.
We should redo the cheers.
We should do the cheers. Yeah, cheers. Yeah. Cheers.
Why doesn't the cheers be the clap for this episode? Never mind.
We'll cut around it. This is going to be a fucking... Right, right. It's going to be a real project.
This is going to be fun.
No, we got it. So Matt and I just watched Joker. Folie à deux. Folie à deux. Is that French? That's French.
Folie à deux.
Folie à deux.
Yeah.
I think that means two people sharing a delusion.
Yeah.
Pretty fitting.
Did you hit record on the phones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, now I got to double check.
Right, because I don't think I saw you do it.
I definitely did it, Matt. And I know I did it.
You're
going to make me do this.
Yeah, we're recording. All right, okay, cool. My bad.
I doubted myself. Because I do forget things sometimes.
Right. We're only human.
You know what my friends used to call me? Forgetful Phil.
Oh, damn.
I know, and they still call me that, actually.
That was a setup right there. I can't believe I missed that one.
That's all right. Forget Phil, if you will.
That's a good one. Damn. Yeah, 2 for 2.
I just came up with that. Off the dome.
Look at that. So, yeah, Joker 2.
What'd you think?
Not as bad as people made it out to be.
That's what I thought.
Not bad at all. I don't think there was a bad... Well,
Doesn't have a bad bone in its body, except...
The end bone was kind of like... Out of nowhere, quick, and then done. I didn't like the end bone.
The very end bone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Him getting stabbed and...
Him getting cut the fuck up by who is speculated to become the Joker that we know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Weren't a fan of that idea of it's not this is the real Joker.
No, I like that. I don't have a problem with that. I remember, you know, we were talking about the movie and you kind of came up with that theory that like the Joaquin Phoenix Joker isn't the Joker that goes toe to toe with Batman.
Right.
But more to be the symbolic inspiration for that Joker.
Mm.
And this movie, so this was my first time seeing it and you had mentioned that theory before I watched it. And this movie, with that already in my head, kind of gave it some meat.
Ah.
And it made it a lot more plausible, like, in my mind.
Mm.
That this dude isn't, you know, the guy running around Gotham causing chaos. He's just a dude where some shit happened to him. And a copycat down the road is inspired by him and picks up that mantle and becomes... The Clown Prince of Crime.
Sure.
Yeah, and I like that.
I like that, too.
I thought that was really cool. And I like that that wasn't spelled out, but it was kind of shown.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, it was tastefully done, I think.
Yeah.
For me, it was clear from the the first movie that this wasn't going to be the Joker that goes toe-to-toe with Batman.
Mm. What about the first movie made you think that? Because I didn't get that vibe from the first movie. The first movie made me think... That was going to be the Joker. Just down the road, like maybe he would be older. But, you know, every universe has its own interpretation, so I don't get too hung up on those details. Because Bruce is a kid in the first one, and then, you know, Joaquin's like 30, 40 years older than him.
Right. Well, yeah, there's that aspect that Batman's just a baby.
Right.
You know, so he wouldn't be...
You kind of look like a baby.
Baby Batman. But beyond that aspect of the fact that Batman's a kid, he just wasn't the Joker that I know.
Right.
I'm not going to make a claim for who the Joker is supposed to be. Right. I didn't really read the OG comics, you know. I know the Joker from the Tim Burton Batman, Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, the Christopher Nolan movies, and the animated films.
Mm.
So this Joaquin Phoenix Joker from the first movie, his interpretation of it is not that of like a scheming guy, you know, a madman for sure, both of them in their own ways, but not a guy who is truly wants to take on the system.
Hmm.
More as a deeply mentally disturbed guy who really is crying out for help.
Right.
That's how I saw him as, and no way he would be a formidable villain like the past Jokers.
Right,
that we
right. see. I mean, after the first movie, I got that feel as well. Like, oh, this really isn't like a developed Joker.
Mm-hmm.
But I chalked that up to just like, oh, he, you know, this is the
beginning,
the start of it. So
sure.
He gains all that over time.
Sure.
But then now watching this one, oh, he was never meant to be that guy.
Mm.
And he never was that guy.
Yeah, they hammer it home for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And the dude that dices him up, though,
yeah,
he's going to become that guy.
Seems like
yeah.
a pretty solid choice. But I where was I going with this Joker? There's that weed kicking in again.
Yep.
That's why I can't smoke before a podcast. Joker 2. Fuck.
Damn.
It'll come to me. Just give me a second. I swear to God.
I gotcha.
We'll leave all this in. All this dead air.
I didn't hate the musical aspects of it. I thought I was going to hate them a lot more.
Yeah.
There were a lot less than I thought there would be. And that's fine either way, because what they did use was fine. Like, to me, it didn't ruin anything. It didn't really slow much down. It didn't really ruin any of the progression to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it just came back to me. Sorry. To me, that's a valid criticism. Expecting this for him to develop into the Joker we all know. It's probably advertised that way from the previews, but I don't know if I'd want to see that movie where we follow villain Joker.
Yeah.
Personally, I could see why you might expect it, because it's the Joker we grew up with.
Right. It's just the nature of the character.
You're making a sequel. All right, where is this going?
Yeah.
But personally, I don't think I'd want to see that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about the best villain interpretations of Joker. Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson. Those are great portrayals of the Joker.
Right.
Would I want to see their movie? Like a story told from their perspective?
Hmm. Maybe Heath Ledger's?
Maybe, but...
But he's too busy tapping out. He's not around to fucking make one.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's out the window.
Thanks, Heath. Fucking asshole.
Pick your pills properly.
Right. Only give what the doctor tells you.
Right. Yeah.
Trust your doctors, people.
But I personally wouldn't. And Heath Ledger's Joker is awesome.
Right.
But I just want to see Heath Ledger fight Batman. I want it.
Right.
I want that... I want the protagonist side of it. I don't want to feel empathy for a villain. And you might argue, I don't know, the movie doesn't... If a movie portrays Joker from his perspective, would it naturally make you more sympathetic towards his character if you're following it from his perspective?
Maybe.
Depends on how you make it. Sure,
right,
you can make him unlikable and just a bad guy. And,
right.
And we're just following it.
Has there ever been a movie like that? That it purposely follows an antagonist.
Sure, yeah. They could have been like, they could have went the natural born killers kind of route. Mm. Or, I don't.
That's true.
I didn't really sympathize with Mickey and Mallory.
No, but I did like them.
But they're likable.
But
yeah.
they were rad. So I would want to hang out route. With them.
Yeah.
For 10 minutes. Because
mm-hmm.
at 15, they kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. But part of the charm of Heath Ledger's Joker or Jack Nicholson's is you're not getting the whole picture.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what makes them there's a little bit of villains. Mystery. Exactly.
Yeah.
So personally, I never wanted to see that kind of movie where it's from exclusively the Joker's perspective.
Right.
But
that's a good point.
Yeah, that's how I felt. So going into the movie, yeah, I wasn't expecting that kind of film, and I didn't necessarily want it either.
Yeah, I don't really know what I expected out of this, you know, because I watched it way after release, so I don't want to say I was influenced by a lot of the response, because a lot of the response was that it was going to be dog shit,
mm-hmm.
and kind of off the bat, it wasn't.
No.
So I didn't really bring much of that into it, but I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I was going to get, like, the first movie, but a little bit more amplified.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of went into it blind, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was dope. Thought it was rad.
For sure, competently made.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Can't knock it there. Can't knock the cinematography.
Sure.
The technical aspects, and I guess people just had an issue with the thematic elements, which was, you know,
but that's like the corniest thing. I don't know.
They wanted what we were talking about. They wanted the Joker, which I guess parallels what the people of Gotham
yeah,
want.
Yeah, that's, you know, funny.
I don't know if that was intentional on Todd Phillips's part.
That is a major roll of the dice if that was intentional.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know, because the first one released in what, 18, 19?
Yeah.
So it's been at least 5 years. And I guess maybe you could argue that it was intentional, seeing the response to the first one and seeing how the masses responded to it and consumed it and kind of went wild for it.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, it's definitely a dice roll. And if it was intentional, good on him, because he called it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was, but it perfectly parallels
and then almost in a way, he kind of, like, again, if it still is intentional, he kind of predicted what the real world fan base would do with the second one, which is kind of what happens in the movie when he drops the act and takes responsibility and is like, there is no Joker, there's just me, and half the court walks out on him.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, like, and then this movie comes out and a lot of the fan base is like, fuck that dog shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Harley went completely dry
when he said bone dry.
I know.
She didn't even let him finish the speech. He was like, there is no Joker. She said, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of here. Sahara.
I know.
I'm out.
He was just being real, you know.
It was like the rainforest of Egypt.
I know.
It just went desert overnight.
Oh, poor Arthur.
What'd you think of her?
You know. Just another hoe, you know?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but hoes and tricks. Come on.
Bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks.
That's right. No,
I thought she was fine.
The character or the actress, Lady Gaga?
Just like as a whole, like the Lady Gaga portraying the character.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was perfect for what the movie was trying to
say. Yeah, I thought she was rad.
You know, what I think the movie was kind of trying to show the Joker to be, and, you know, I don't know, but as not a villain, really, but just a guy, mentally disturbed guy, who really just wanted to be loved.
Right.
I mean, the first movie, he has those delusions of his neighbor.
Right.
That absolutely never happened.
Right.
And it kind of, you know, he starts gaining some confidence from those delusions.
Yeah.
Starts lifting him up. So a big core of him is really just wanting to be loved, because he's been shown nothing but abuse his whole life. So, and her coming into his life, you know, and him gravitating towards her, thinking, okay, finally someone to show actual warmth to me, somebody who needs me. But it was all just a lie. She was just in for the fantasy.
She was in love with the character.
Yeah. So it's a tragic love story at its core. That's how I saw it. And I think it was very effective. I think her character was effective. I thought Lady Gaga was great in it, you know. I haven't seen her act in anything, actually. I know she was in that movie, A Star Is Born.
I heard that movie was pretty good.
Iteration of A Star Is Born. Yeah. But I never saw it. But I thought she was good in it. She looks better without all that makeup, huh?
Yeah.
I see her in all these interviews and...
Yeah.
She looks fucking...
When she's not wearing meat suits and...
Yeah.
Dressing up like a fucking Pikmin.
Right. Doing all that spirit cooking.
Right.
With a...
Yeah.
A Marina Abramovich or whatever her name is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know...
She's not a bad looking chick.
When she takes it off and looks normal, she's pretty rad.
Yeah, weird hot.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool. But, yeah.
I tried to find some of like the metaphors or patterns that I found in the first one. Like, I don't, you know, I'm no fucking, you know, film scholar or whatever, but like watching the first one in theaters, I haven't seen it since, but my first watch, you know, you notice tiny little things here and there, like when he would do the dance numbers and stuff. It was only after he killed somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And the only time he does it before is when he dances with his mother, who he ends up killing later.
Mm.
But he doesn't dance unless he kills somebody.
Mm.
So, like, I jumped into this one, and I'm like, all right, cool. What's going to be the subtle pattern, the subtle give? And there was nothing like that. Or, I mean, if there was, I didn't catch it.
That specifically, that pattern of, or just any?
Or just any. Like, I looked out for the dancing just in case, but then he would just kind of dance randomly throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. I think within the songs, they're metaphorical, you know.
The only recurring thing I saw was a lot of Looney Tunes.
Sure.
There was Looney Tunes throughout the movie. They were always watching Looney Tunes.
At the end, they're watching Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there were
chasing,
a few.
Yeah, he's chasing after the female skunk and she's running away.
That's a cat.
Or the cat, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember Pepe got canceled?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, he got canceled a few years ago because they thought he was, kind of essaying.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
This cat who was not of his species.
I did hear about that, yeah, yeah. That's right, it was the cat.
Yeah.
Right.
But the funny thing, like in the Looney Tunes... cartoons was like she would always find a way to accidentally have her back painted, and that's why he thought she was a skunk.
Oh yeah,
like she would be like, you know, like crawling under a table and there's a paintbrush and it would paint her. Or like she would go through a fence that was like freshly painted and she would always find a way to get the stripe on her back. And that's when he was like, that's a fine ass skunk over there.
That's kind of weird.
Oops.
Yeah, looking back on it, but yeah, that's obvious symbolism. Yeah. Some of the songs, The Carpenters, Why Do Stars Fall Down? You know, that's why all the girls in town follow you. You know, that's kind of obvious. You know, he's a star, whatever. But yeah, there are definitely parallels within the songs, I noticed. He always does that back kind of... lean when he's feeling like the Joker, it seems, like free, because he's always just kind of hunched over and
bent
and out of shape. So when he's feeling the whole Joker persona, he's always kind of laying.
Yeah,
that's a pattern. A lot of interesting stuff when they come out of the prison ward to the other ward and it's raining. They all have black umbrellas.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then he opens up the umbrellas.
And they're all the colors of his suit.
Yeah.
It was like a burgundy. There was a orange, a blue.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I took note of that.
Yeah, visually a very stunning film,
yeah.
I would say. Todd Phillips knows how to direct a fucking movie.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
Even those Hangover movies looked really cool.
I mean, this is the dude that gave us Paging Dr. Faggot.
Uh-huh.
From the first Hangover movie. I mean, that's...
Right.
That is cinema, baby.
Yeah. And Road Trip.
I always forget that he did Road Trip.
Mm.
Crazy. I don't get why he does that speech at the end. I don't get why he kind of wakes up to it and drops the Joker persona.
Mm.
I didn't understand it. Like, I don't know, maybe you're not supposed to because it's the Joker, but like, I don't get what his angle is.
I'm not sure I fully know either.
Right.
Let me speculate.
Like, are we supposed to believe that he has turned some kind of a moral leaf?
Hmm. Well, aside from the rape, which I think definitely happened, or at least sodomized, you know.
Yeah.
There was some speculation. Was he actually raped? I mean, they took his clothes off. It's definitely implied. He says, oh, aren't you going to buy me a drink first? You know.
Yeah.
Definitely implied that they rape him or sodomized.
That guard the next morning when he goes into like their little rec area was very like, what's up, baby?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of when he walks in, like, oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could have been a turning point.
That's a wake up call in some cases.
Well, yeah, he gets violated, gets beat up. They put him back into his cell. One of the other prisoners getting all riled up. They're singing "The Saints Go Marching In."
Yeah, and he kills his homeboy.
And yeah, Brendan Gleeson, who's great in the movie.
He's great. Gleeson.
He's
yeah.
so good in everything he's in.
Yeah, he's good in everything.
But just the perfect role for him. But he, seemingly kills him, his buddy, and the whole time after those two incidents in the cell, he's flashing back to the time he killed those. Wall Street kids mm-hmm. in the subway,
mm-hmm.
and but afterwards, where he's washing his face off in the sink, it's kind of seemed to symbolize that it's really just
shedding of the Joker.
Yeah, the mask is coming off.
Like, yeah,
like at the end of the day, it's just him. You
right.
know, as he's washing his mask off.
Yeah, and they set you up from the beginning, like they set you up. For you to believe that it's a dual persona. Because mm-hmm. even that little cartoon in the beginning.
The shadow. Yeah, exactly.
And then the shadow puts on the paint. And the shadow does all this stuff. And then he takes off the clothes. And leaves it on the body.
Mm.
And it's like, here, you deal with it. I did this.
Yep.
So even the movie itself is trying to tell you. Like, I mean, I don't know what perspective that cartoon came from. Is that in his head? Or is that just meant to be a clue for the audience or whatever it was, but they're already planting that seed that
mm-hmm.
these are two different people.
Right. With the whole defense attorney yeah. wanting it to be a split personality thing.
Right.
So it symbolizes that, but at the same time symbolizes Arthur's just own shadow. Not necessarily a split personality, but his dark side, right?
Right.
His shadow.
Right.
And how he conflicts with his shadow and how his shadow is becoming this persona, a public persona,
right?
Now, like an icon and a martyr, and whatnot, and the whole movie is kind of about that struggle with him.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, he's just Arthur, you know. And that's
he's just a man.
And I thought that was a cool angle of the movie, and
yeah.
that's what the big criticism of it was, that it was just that, and not the Joker,
right?
So I understand the people being upset with the movie. From that point of view. But, for me, I loved it. You know, it's subversive kind of, I love movies that just kind of subvert the, your expectations.
Right.
And,
I mean, like as much, as much as it may like be a bummer for to sit with that realization that like this isn't the Joker that goes to fight Batman or anything like that. It, you know, if that's what we got, then you just got to watch it and enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
That's how I think, you know, like, yeah, you know, I would have liked for this Joker to grow and become more menacing and become that Joker that we know,
mm-hmm.
but that's not what we got. So no. Just watch what we got and just, was this good for this moment?
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, if this is the guy that inspires the Joker, I don't need that later Joker movie.
No.
But this is cool within itself, within its own little bubble.
Yeah. Just take it as it is.
Yeah.
Take me as I am.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah. I give it 4.5 schmeckles. I said 5 earlier. I think I give it 4.5.
I think I'm somewhere between 3, 5, and 4. I would say.
3.5 and 4. Yeah, that's fair.
Somewhere in between 3, 5, and 4.
Definitely one of the best movies I've seen this year.
Yeah.
I think. It surprised me.
Yeah. That it did for sure. It definitely did surprise me. And I think a lot of that has to do with the response to it. I was surprised at how bad it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after, like, the outbursts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus, people thought this was, like, the Spider-Man 3 of today.
Can we talk about Spider-Man 3 real quick?
I tell you what, man. That's the worst of that trilogy, and I'll talk about that movie for 23.5 hours.
Okay, well, that's true. It is the worst of the trilogy.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's bad.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not.
Just want to see if we're on the same page.
That movie had a lot of behind-the-scenes bullshit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Raimi's been kind of open about it. If you look at Raimi's trilogy... You know, he's kind of an older dude, yeah. And he was, you know, I don't know how old exactly, but he was probably born in, like, the 60s or 70s.
Sounds about right.
So his three movies, his villains, are all very early in the comics. So they were probably villains that he grew up with.
Mm.
You know, Venom comes around in the 80s. He's already been making movies. He's probably not keeping up with the medium. He doesn't really know the character.
Mm.
And it's been rumored that Avi Arad and the studio kind of forced him to put Venom in that movie.
Mm.
So then with that in mind, you go back, you watch that movie. Venom's in that movie for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He's just kind of shoehorned in, quick in and out.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he wanted to do symbiote at all. Because, like, I think a cool angle could have been... Okay, you introduce the symbiote, you show how it changes Peter and all that cool shit. And I think if the movie ended at the church scene, then 4 could be all Venom. And that would have been cool. But, like, you know, you switch it around a little bit. Because that church scene happens, like, with 30, 40 minutes to go in the movie.
Yeah.
You just take that and you move it to the end. You know, Spider-Man in the black suit. Still fights the bad guy, beats the bad guy, Sandman, Harry Osborn, whatever, whatever, whatever. Bless you.
Thank you.
But then it ends with that church scene. I thought that would have been perfect. But that's not even what he wanted to do neither.
What did he want to do?
He, for a fourth movie, he would have wanted to do Vulture, which is another super early Spider-Man villain.
Mm.
So he's just, you know, an old school dude who got that thing forced on him. And then he's like, you know, yeah. What can I do? These are the people giving me the money to make my movie. If I got to do what the fuck they want to do, I'm going to try to make it work. And it didn't.
So your issue with Spider-Man 3 is they kind of half-assed Venom. Just kind of tacked him on.
Sure.
Without
yeah.
And he should have had his own movie.
He definitely he's definitely worthy of his own movie.
That's true.
And then who's to even say if they had any plan, if Raimi had any plans for him at all?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, throughout the movie, you sprinkled all that symbiote stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you cut that out completely, that leaves a lot more room for Raimi to do what Raimi did with the first two movies, which was develop characters and build these people up. And
that's a good point.
There's a reason why Spider-Man 2 is over 20 years old, and it's still one of like the best comic book movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta let Raimi cook. The man's a chef. You gotta let him cook.
Yeah, for me, emo Peter Parker made it all worth it. him doing those finger guns.
The finger guns were rad.
That made it all. As soon as that happened, it turned into one of the greatest movies.
Right, right. It was on a steady decline.
Yeah.
But then he looks in the mirror and he just shuffles his hair a little bit and suddenly gets eyeliner hidden in his palms.
Yep.
And I was like, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah, hook, line, and sinker.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, just wanted to... Yeah, just a side note.
Yeah.
Joker 2 was pretty cool.
Joker 2 was rad. Joker 2 was rad. And I hope that book is worth a fortune that he signed for Tim Dillon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, great cameo appearance.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. What is it that he starts writing that he cross out? What was he going to say? Like put a smile on or whatever.
Think,
And he just crosses it out. I hope you get cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What else to say about that?
Yeah, I don't know. Movie. Do you think there'll be a third?
No. I mean, Todd Phillips said he's done
dead,
with it.
Right.
If there's a third, it would follow that Joker.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see that movie.
No,
do you?
Me neither.
Kind of goes back to my other point. Like,
no.
I don't know.
Because at that point, if you make a movie about that Joker, you're just making a Batman movie.
Yeah.
And as much as I like that character, I would much rather see a Batman movie.
Yeah.
And then Matt Reeves' Batman universe already has a Joker.
True.
So,
but that's interesting though, because the Matt Reeves Batman, the Joker in it, is very lightly teased. Like, wouldn't even know it's a Joker.
Well, he's in a deleted scene.
I was gonna say that. So the fact that it's a deleted scene means that, you know, it might not be canon in the future. Though they did tease him in the asylum.
Yeah.
It was very subtle, and it wasn't even explicitly Joker.
Right.
It was just enough to make you think, oh, is that possibly Joker?
Yeah.
Which is, I assume, what he wanted, the intention of the director and the writers, considering they deleted the scene
Joker. I think there's something else in that movie that tells you he's already crossed paths with Joker.
Mm.
There's something else. There's like a memento, or he has something. I think. I've only seen the movie once.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's something in there that tells you he's already crossed paths with him, even without having seen the deleted scene.
I see. Well, you know, I think it's likely that they will go into that Joker being the villain for the next movie or future movies.
I like the Joker getting a breather with Batman movies.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I think it's very likely just because, you know, people want the Joker, so put the Joker in.
Right, right.
But at this point...
He's got a solid rogues gallery of villains.
Yeah, I'm interested in different villains.
Yeah.
I think they rumored they would go into, what do you call it? The Cult of the Owls, the courthouse. What is it? The courthouse?
Court of Owls.
Court of Owls,
yeah.
That's right.
And Mr. Freeze.
That'd be cool.
I've heard a lot of rumors about Freeze.
Yeah, I saw the Court of Owls in one of the animated movies. Might have been Batman in the Court of Owls.
Mm.
But I think that would be a lot more interesting. Like sort of Illuminati cult running Gotham and stuff like that.
Especially for that world.
World. It'd be somewhat,
Because,
he set up a really cool world with the Batman.
For sure.
So I would like to see that. Yeah, hang up the Joker for a bit, I think.
For a little bit.
I think we're a little burnt out on Joker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But goddamn it, if I don't think it's possible to top Heath Ledger's. I don't know.
This was really good.
I mean, you know, don't have to necessarily think about it as a topping each Joker. You know? People could bring their own interesting...
But that's kind of the thing. Like ever since Heath Ledger, every Joker has just tried to mimic that Joker. Like Jared Leto's.
I don't even remember Jared Leto's.
For the little bit that we saw, Like, David Ayer is very open about how he filmed a lot more Joker content and the studio cut it up that way. But the little bit that we got is like, he's just kind of trying to mimic Heath Ledger. And then you watch the deleted scene from The Batman, and he look like his look is kind of like Heath Ledger. And it's like every Joker except the Todd Phillips stuff has tried to mimic that Joker. Whereas everything before that was completely its own different and sideways.
Like, oh, I agree.
Like the Joker from the, and also a lot has to do with the time that they come out, because you only have so much source material available. But like the Joker from the 60s TV show is so different from Nicholson, who's different from Mark Hamill, who's different from Heath Ledger. So, you know.
True.
Everything since Heath Ledger has just kind of tried to mimic him.
Yeah, you can't do that. Because it's very specific, his Joker.
Yeah.
It's nothing like we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So you got to go. You got to get real weird with it, you know.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know. For me, my Joker is always Mark Hamill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up with the Batman animated films, Mask of Phantasm.
Oh,
fantastic.
Oh, my God. Phantasmly fantastic.
Yeah. I love that era of animation films in general.
Yeah.
It's the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
It was like peak animation films for me.
But like the Joker in the Arkham trilogy. Holy shit.
Oh, the games.
Yeah. And that was Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I got to play those. I played a little bit of the first one, Asylum.
They're good, man.
And a little bit of, I forget, the one that's rated M for
Arkham Knight.
Yeah, I have that one for PS4. But I also grew up, did you ever watch Batman Beyond?
Sure.
Love that fucking.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the show, I guess, but I watched the movies. There's like a part one and two, maybe.
The movie with the Joker.
There's Return of the Joker.
Yeah.
And then there's, I think, another movie before. I don't
know. You know what's really funny? The plot of that Joker movie.
Yeah.
Is basically the same plot as a comic book that came out later that shows that Batman's second Robin, who was killed by the Joker, was alive the whole time, and he comes back as an anti-hero. And the plot of that Batman Beyond movie is sort of similar to it. Very little. Because in that world, you know, it's in the future and whatever. And they Jason Todd was the second Robin. And he's still dead because he died in like the 80s or something. So by the time that movie came out in like the 90s or whatever, that thing was still canon. Even though it takes place in the future. And the third Robin, who is Tim Drake, is the one that gets taken over by the Joker.
That's right.
But the way that they kind of do it is like, oh, I've seen this before because I know the other story. But it's nonetheless, I mean, it's not any less enjoyable. That movie's great.
If what I remember is correct, Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, the Joker implants himself
right
into Robin.
Yeah.
So, and so he's been, what's his name? Was it Tim Drake?
Yeah.
That's right, Tim Drake. So he's been Tim Drake throughout that movie. Batman just didn't know. Or did, within that movie, he is the Joker, and then he implants himself into Tim Drake. I can't remember if he was Tim Drake the whole time
within I think he was Tim Drake the whole time, but yeah. Then it was like dormant.
Right.
It was
right,
dormant in him.
Yeah.
And then whatever it is, you know, he wakes it up and he's like, I'm crazy now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie was, dude, I got to rewatch this.
Movie was sick.
Bane, maybe. I don't remember. But yeah.
The world of Batman's pretty cool, man.
Batman, yeah.
I think I'm going to go home and play Arkham Knight tonight.
Nice.
It's one of the best games I've ever played. Do you remember movie tie-in games?
Yeah, that was one of the better ones, I thought. Yeah, you sneak around and shit.
Yeah.
And be stealthy, but there was also Batmobile missions that were super intense. I think.
Yeah, because there was no Batmobile in that movie, right?
Batman Begins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was there?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I thought it made its debut in Dark Knight.
No, I don't remember. You could be right. I don't remember.
I mean, I've also only seen The Dark Knight.
You've never seen Batman Begins?
Or Rises.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen one or three. I've only seen the second one.
Batman Begin game was cool. Some tie-in movie games are cool. Some of them. Reservoir Dogs was a good one.
That had a game?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Hell yeah.
Really?
I thought it was cool.
Who made that? Was that a Rockstar game? That sounds like it would be a Rockstar game.
It played like a Rockstar game.
Right.
But I think it might have been EA.
Oh, my
honestly,
God.
I think so. I think they published it, but I don't...
That's annoying.
I don't know who developed it. I could be wrong, but it was pretty solid. They had really good likeness.
Yeah.
The CGI cutscenes looked pretty good, and it had a lot of the voices.
Nice.
Like, the real voices returning. It was cool, yeah. You played the parts that you don't see in the movie, like the heist.
Gotcha.
And the chases and all that.
Yeah.
And it's cool. You could take people hostage, like, within the mall. Yeah, you go into a mall and you could take people hostage and fucking...
It's pretty rad. Did you ever play the Scarface movie tie-in?
No, I never played the Scarface. Dude, I was always curious about it.
That one's fun. The opening level is the ending of the movie, and he doesn't die. He escapes.
Mm.
And then the whole game is just rebuilding his way back up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's
pretty rad. I heard they were good, but for some reason never... I played the Godfather games. You ever play those?
I played the first one.
Yeah, I think that was the best one.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That one was fun.
That's why I think a lot of those mafia games were lacking, of like you just really being behind the you know, the racketeering and the
right.
You know, extortions and beating up business owners.
Yeah.
And
I didn't play the mafia games. I've heard they're really good.
They're
though.
Cool, but I thought there was just a little bit more freedom and a little bit more progression in the Godfather games.
Nice.
You know. Mafia games are cool, but it's one of those games that are open world for no reason, really. Mm. Like, there's nothing really to do in them. It looks good.
They tried to piggyback off the GTA hype.
Yeah.
And just be a sandbox game.
Yeah, you could drive around. You could shoot people, I guess, but no, there's not much to it.
Yeah.
You need some, like, mini games to keep it interesting.
Right.
Right. Activities. Yeah. Now we're getting into video games. But, yeah. Joker 2 was rad.
Joker 2 was rad.
We already wrapped up. We don't have to go back to Joker 2. This could be its own segment.
Right.
I'll cut it from whatever. But yeah.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
In the same... Damn, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Vain spirit.
Same vain spirit as all the Looney Tunes reference in Joker 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all, folks. Hello, nurse.
Yeah.
wrong property, but still Warner Brothers. So now we're just reaching at straws. Well, thanks for hanging. Hopefully this was more bearable than Joker 2, if you didn't like it.
Yeah, hopefully our review of Joker 2. Yeah. Was better than Joker 2 for you.
Yeah, I mean,
for you naysayers.
If you didn't like both, you can just go fuck yourself twice.
Two times. Folie de.
There we go. That's a good one. That's a good one to end on. Bam. Clap.
Fade to black.